whole time. I didn't even know there were this many black women with ADHD.
Yeah, I'm telling you. You got to figure if there's 15 million, there's a few million black women.
It's like we're all hiding.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jenny Friedman. I'm an ADHD coach and the host of the show. Yeah, we need a lot more people talking about ADHD because it's invisible. If you had a pair of glasses that can make you see the invisible, what would ADHD look like? If you're wondering right now where your glasses are, you're probably in the right place. This show has a mission. Demystify and destigmatize ADHD once and for all. Stuff isn't rocket science, people.
Today, I am thrilled to have with me in the virtual studio, fan favorite, Renee Brooks. Hello, Renee.
Hi, Jenny. How you been?
I'm good. I've asked you on because there's a few shows that you've done with me that sort of continuous storylines, and I thought maybe I could just catch up with you and see how you're doing. I know in episode something, I don't remember which one. I think it was in the teens. You got diagnosed for vertical heterophoria and you went to the doctor and you got prism glasses.
Yes.
Yeah. Now that you got your real glasses, you look great.
Thank you. I love them. They're like, honestly, one of the best things I've ever done for myself. My neck pain is almost completely gone, except for when I get super stressed out, but that's not related to the eyes at all. Like, we're talking about every single day I would be in pain. So now if I feel that pain, I know it's anxiety. You need to go chill out, do some meditation, mindfulness, whatever. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, take it down a notch. This is a way different way to just live. It feels good to not be in that continuous, persistent pain because it would be really bad. Sometimes I would feel like I needed to vomit. Sometimes I would feel like I wanted to hurt myself. I mean, it was a level of pain I don't think I've ever experienced. And the chronic nature of it, just you don't get a break.
Right. So amazing, because the glasses look, you know, completely like you. I would never know there's a prism in them.
Oh, no, you can't tell. They're like completely normal glasses. Mm-hmm. You cannot, they get dirty like normal glasses. Oh, that's one thing I do not miss. That's the one thing that makes me go, God, I wish they could put these in contacts, because I cannot stand having to constantly wipe my glasses. Right. Like I get a little OCD with it, and then I just have to chill.
Right. Okay, so this is excellent. And then I know also you were on, I remember it was episode 5, because it was when I met you, and we were talking about a whole range of things that you were interested in. And I ended up naming that one ADHD and curiosity, because I do think it's a strength. It's like, you know, is it a superpower of ADHD? Like, it is definitely, to me, a wondrous thing, because I have curiosity about things, but then it's fleeting. It's like, yeah, I wonder about that, but I don't go investigate.
Yes, and we're very like, I think even if I didn't have ADHD, I would be, I tell people I'm just nosy. I need to know about everything. I want to know how it works and why it works that way, and who was the first person to do it that way. In fact, oh my gosh, I just found out about a woman today. She was the first female Episcopal priest, and she was the first black female Episcopal priest. And she did, like, she was a brilliant lawyer. She actually wrote as her thesis in law school an argument for that separate and equal wasn't really separate it wasn't really equal.
It wasn't really, it was separate, but it wasn't equal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And little did anyone know, Thurgood Marshall used that thesis as a basis and a guidance for his argument in Brown versus the Board of Education, which is what finally got rid of it. He never credited her for her work, but he definitely used her ideas.
Wow.
Like, the woman was brilliant. She was really ahead of her time in a lot of different areas. She struggled with her sexuality.
What's this woman's name?
Her name was Mary Paul, because she struggled with her sexuality. If she had been born present day, we would have said she was transsexual. She said she felt like a man trapped in a woman's body.
Mm.
So she would often dress as male. And we're talking about, this woman was going to college in the 30s. So this woman was way, way ahead of her time. I'm surprised they didn't try to kill her, honestly.
Wow.
But she really broke a lot of cultural barriers. She introduced a lot of legal principles that affect us today. She had a hand in. It was fascinating. Like, when the Civil Rights Act came into place, she actually affected the legislation and told them, you need to put women in there as well, because if you don't, you're discriminating. There's a whole intersection there that you're missing that people are still going to be able to use to exclude a whole race of people. She really wrote a lot about being a minority within a minority, in the sense that she was female and Black, because she had applied to USC at Chapel Hill. She couldn't get in because she was Black. And so she ended up, I don't remember what university she ended up going to, but when she got through there, she went to apply to law school at Harvard. And she couldn't get into Harvard because she was a woman. And she found that a lot of people who supported her in her protest against USC at Chapel Hill did not support her when she couldn't get into Harvard on the basis of being a woman. So it was really, she really felt the effects of being that double minority.
Wow.
So yeah. She really, like, she befriended Lady Bird Johnson. She was a cultural consultant for Eleanor Roosevelt. And she's, I've never heard of her before. Like, as somebody who delves into a lot of history in general, it astonished me that someone who had such a huge effect on civil rights, and they made her a saint in 2012.
Let me just look it up.
You look, and I can look too.
Was her name Polly Murray?
Yes, that sounds right.
Yeah. I've never heard of her either.
It was a fascinating story.
You know, that's interesting. I find it fascinating too, but I bet it is especially for you, because you've been doing a lot of your efforts in the Black community with women, Black community with ADHD, which is like a triple yes. minority.
Right? I'm telling you. I mean, don't... You know, if you're going to do anything, you might as well go for broke, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to be a woman, you might as well be a minority. And if you're going to be a minority, you might as well be a feminine disabled minority. That's always fun.
Well, you're rocking and rolling because you're getting a lot of attention.
Did you see all of that feedback I got from that Kaleidoscope Society interview? Holy moly.
That's exciting stuff.
It really is. Mm-hmm. It really is. And, you know, I was telling Margot, the founder, that I want to do this podcast. And of course, you know, because I've told you the whole backstory on it.
and roped you into it with me. So Jenny and I are going to be doing a podcast all the time now, you know.
Love it.
Not going to tell you what it's about.
We'll say
that. Steal our idea and then you'll capitalize on right. it. So that would be awful.
We'll save that for later. We've got a secret. We'll bring out another time. But yeah, definitely. I think it's so wonderful that you got some recognition for your work because you do really bring a voice to, you know, really is representative of millions of people.
What's crazy to me is how many women have reached out to me and said, I'm so glad you're doing this. And I'm like, where the hell have all you been this whole time? I didn't even know there were this many Black women with ADHD.
Yeah, I'm telling what you. You got to figure if there's 15 million, there's a few million Black women.
It's like we're all hiding on the fringe. It's like we're this like fringe edge of things and nobody wants to like fess up and say, well, you know, I'm over here and I've got it. And of course me, Blabbermouth, has to be the first one to pipe up. Whatever.
No, I think it's wonderful. And I am. I'm so glad and happy for you to get the recognition and to get some balls rolling in a different way for you to spend your energies and, you know, really gain some momentum. Yeah. And be able to maybe make it a life's passion, you know.
For sure. I would much rather be talking about my ADHD than doing what I do now, which, you know, I tell people no for a living. Will you pay this? No. Can you reconsider the way that you looked at this claim? No. No.
You're like, okay, just checking.
Yeah, I mean, every, like, maybe 3 or 4 times a day I get to say, oh, yeah, we'll pay that. But for the most part, it's like, oh, no, no, we're not going to do that. No, no, you didn't bill it right, so no.
Oh.
You put the wrong modifier, so no.
Right. So you're saying it's not emotionally rewarding?
No, not at all.
No.
You see, it's yeah, checking.
I do see. I totally see. Well, yeah,
my husband got me this button that I feel like I should push it every time I finish a case. It you just push the button and it goes, no, not happening, no. It's the silliest thing, but of course, you know, it, like, you could hear a pin drop. It's like, honestly, the job that I work at is probably the worst job that a person with ADHD could ever have. You sit down and you look at your screen all day and you have to sit still and be quiet and you're not talking and there's not a lot of moving around. So
how do you do that? You know, that's a
medicine. Drugs.
Right. I was going to say, that's a really great question that to answer, but you know what? Yeah. So you can focus because you're on the medicine that helps you focus.
I think I'm going to blog about it now that I've had the experience of deleting those apps off of my phone. I realized what I think there's a technical term for it. I don't know what it is, but like, I'm a compulsive phone checker.
Well, it's impulsivity. That's part of your, that's definitely, lots of people are that way, and then you throw ADHD on it. That's impulsively needing that reward. Oh, look, look, you know, the dopamine's
gone. Somebody liked what I said. Somebody looked at it. Now I wonder if I do this. Wow, look, a whole bunch of people are talking to me now. I love talking to people. And next thing you know, I've done a whole bunch of nothing. And now, but the thing about it is it has to be total impulsivity, because now that I don't have the apps there and I don't have the notifications popping up. Yep. It's not like I'm dying and I need to go get to Facebook or Twitter or whatever.
Right.
I'm just like, oh, there's nothing. Well, you know, I'll get around to looking at them later. Like, now it's too hard to get to them. I don't even care about them.
Right. Wow. You definitely need to blog about that, because that's definitely ADHD.
Mm-hmm. And I never would have suspected. I mean, I could have just listened when my ADHD coach told me
maybe I should find a blocker and stay off of social media during the day. That might have been a useful thing to do. Listen to your coach, you know.
Well, you know, this is the thing about coaching. If the idea doesn't come from you, it doesn't really stick, which is why we really have to just keep asking questions until you come up with ideas.
And it's like, oh, you took my suggestion. And it's like, well, you know, in a roundabout kind of way. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, I finally figured it out. I finally thought of it, even though you told me a long time ago.
It was like, you know, should I just say, wow, I took your suggestion and it worked, or should I tell the truth? Oh, I'm going to go for the truth.
Yeah, it's all right. It's a thankless job, but somebody's got to do it.
It is.
You know,
poor people. I'm like, this poor woman. I know sometimes she has to wonder why she even bothers talking to me, because I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea. I don't know if I want to do that, though.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Seriously. I mean, you can't, that's why in coach training, they're like, you can't give advice because it's not going to work. People don't like to be told what to do. I mean, even if it's said nicely, well, here's a suggestion, or you brainstorm together, 9 times out of 10, my clients will be like, they come back a month or two later, got the big idea that, you know, I had, but like, until they come up with it on their own, it just isn't going to happen.
Well, you know, I'm getting better about it. I'm trying to become more open.
Absolutely. You're being far more mindful and for sure. How long have I known you now? Almost a year?
Definitely. It would have to be. Yeah, it would definitely be a year.
That's a long time.
It is a long time. It's been, you know, and there's been a lot of change over the year. It's actually like, it feels like it's more than a year's worth of change. Goodness.
Well, yeah. When I think about, yeah, for sure. You've been through a lot. I think people listening to this should have great hope that, you know, if they find themselves in a situation where, I don't know, you explain it. How were you feeling a year ago?
Oh, like crap. Physically, I felt horrible. My marriage was in shambles. My work life was in the toilet. My anxiety had gotten so bad that I actually had to take a sabbatical from work. Fortunately, it was paid, but not everybody has that advantage. And now I'm doing just fine at work. My marriage is improving. And of course, I'm blogging. I'm getting recognition for that. And the pain and a lot of the anxiety has reduced because of getting the vertical heteroporia treated. So it's like a complete life change.
And I happen to know you got your finances in order in there too.
Yes. Wow. Which totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's taken a lot of stress off of us too.
Mm-hmm. And just really taking a look at where you're at and what you need to do and handling everything, the freedom. Now, you know, it used to be probably very overwhelming and very scary and very, I don't know what to do. But when you dug in, I mean, I find you very inspiring, but I think people need to realize that if Renee can do it, so can you.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, the changes were not changes that no one else could make for their life. And it's not like these changes didn't happen overnight, and they didn't happen because I'm so great and I sat down and I thought of them on my own. I had a ton of support. I had to go back to therapy. I had to...
Yeah, I think you reached out, you know?
Absolutely. Like, I think that's the part that a lot of people are maybe missed. Like, there's a lot of small victories that make a big difference when you look at them all added up. And that's really difficult for us to do as ADHD people. We want the big result. We don't really care about all the little steps that it takes to get there. And we don't think about those little steps. And then we're trying to accomplish the huge step and we get frustrated and then we burn ourselves out.
Yeah.
It's like trying to jump to reach something up on a high shelf. If you were going, but without going to get a step ladder. So you keep jumping and you wear yourself out.
Yeah. That's a good analogy.
Thanks.
Yeah. You're so smart. Well, yeah. I do think though that people need to hear that if they hear anything, is that to reach out and to ask for help and to accept the help when given help is, you know, sometimes just being proactive in your own best interest.
Absolutely.
You know, that you can, and sometimes it doesn't even take a lot.
It really doesn't. I mean, just something as simple as, like I said, deleting those stupid apps off my phone. And my, like, it's made a dramatic difference in my productivity at work. I mean, huge, because I would be like, oh, well, I'm in between cases. Let me take a quick look. And, you know, 10 minutes here, 15 minutes there, you know, 25 minutes here. You know, if I go to the bathroom and I take a quick look, there's another 20 minutes. You know, that adds up over the day.
Oh,
big
sure.
Time.
You're probably spending hours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Easily. But not while I was at work, because that would be bad.
Well, not you. I'm talking about someone like you.
Exactly. Because if I did that while I was at work, that would be horrible.
Well, no, you would never do it at work. I'm just talking about, like, you know.
In general.
Hypothetical situations.
Correct.
Well, I think I'm going to let you go, but I just wanted to get a little catch up with you and let everyone know Renee is alive and well and doing perfect.
Yeah, doing much, much, much better than I was a year ago, and looking forward to being even better by this. Like, maybe we'll make this a yearly thing, Jenny. That'll be fun.
Yeah, there you go. Like a checkup.
Exactly.
Because seriously, you have irons in the fire, my friend. So, you know, so stay tuned, everyone. Next year.
That's right.
Right around Valentine's Day, we'll do another checkup on Renee.
Yay!
And that's all. I will see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
That's it for the show, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. And whether you have ADHD yourself, or live with or love someone who does, or both. Remember, we're all in this together, and everybody benefits when we begin to see through the other's eyes.